In the gleaming Fifth Avenue Apple Store on opening night, Denise Young Smith stood as the only Black woman executive who had helped shape Apple's revolutionary retail vision. When comedian Dave Chappelle approached her and simply said, "I see you, sis," those four words crystallized what had been missing throughout much of her professional journey: true recognition. This moment of authentic connection stood in stark contrast to her 2014 feature in Fortune magazine, where, despite 18 years at Apple, 13 in leadership, she was bizarrely characterized as Apple's new voice, erasing her extensive contributions in establishing over 425 Apple stores worldwide. The difference between being truly seen and being overlooked became the foundation for understanding how belonging works in spaces where difference is often misunderstood. Growing up in Colorado Springs, Young developed strong observation skills by observing adults' stories, watching their body language and tone. Unlike many Black children raised to be barely seen and not heard, a protective cultural remnant from post-enslavement, her parents encouraged her to develop her own viewpoints. These early experiences shaped her ability to see others deeply, a skill that would prove invaluable throughout her career, yet one that wasn't always reciprocated in professional settings where she was frequently the only one. At 11, Young stood out as the only Black child at Miss June's Dance Academy. Her curvier body and naturally proud head carriage didn't match ballet's angular standard, leading her to internalize that different meant not as good. Her breakthrough came when cast as the Autumn Fairy in Prokofiev's Cinderella. Her family helped prepare by dyeing tights and toe shoes to match her skin tone, adaptations Black dancers like Misty Copeland still make today. That performance at the Colorado Springs Fine Arts Center marked the first time she felt truly seen, as her teachers challenged convention while transforming a young girl's self-image. This pattern of recognition continued throughout her life. Parents who nurtured her voice, Miss Zarla Sims who introduced her to Harlem Renaissance literature, and J. James Brown who recognized her leadership potential. Each instance of being truly seen shaped her identity and direction. Such recognition, beyond mere acknowledgement to genuine appreciation, could transform our workplaces. Grambling State University's motto, "Where everybody is somebody," marked Young's first encounter with an environment built for her success. Here, Black women were celebrated as queens, and students from vastly different backgrounds, from affluent to modest means, came together as equals. HBCUs exemplified individualized support for student success. Professor Lee Grant's approach, requiring Young to score higher while offering others retakes, demonstrated true equity through differentiated treatment. This model, which corporate America often misinterprets as reverse racism, proved remarkably effective. HBCUs produce 40% of Black engineers, 50% of Black lawyers, and 80% of Black judges. Trinity Missionary Baptist Church offered another powerful example of belonging. The choir especially moved Young, where voices united to create shared emotional experiences. When choir director Mr. John Bowen guided her to find her authentic voice, his recognition provided the external validation she needed, demonstrating how environments of genuine acceptance can transform lives. With Black professionals holding less than 4% of tech executive positions, being the only one remains a common experience. Young's career trajectory changed when J. James Brown, a Black executive, became her mentor, teaching her crucial corporate navigation skills, reading boardroom dynamics, effective listening, identifying decision makers, and building trust networks. At Apple in Colorado, Young worked in college recruiting. After relocating to Northern California, she discovered an active network of African-American tech professionals from companies like Oracle, HP, and Sun Microsystems. These informal gatherings, organized through their secret Black Bat Signal, became vital spaces for sharing strategies and support. Silicon Valley's claims of meritocracy contradicted reality. less than 1% of VC funding went to Black founders, and by 2021, Apple employed only 177 Black women among 30,745 professional roles. Young observed that while diversity discussions were frequent, they failed to address the core issue. Employees of color needed to be heard, not merely counted. After a year in employee relations, Young joined the Apple Stores initiative despite her lack of retail experience. HR SVP Dan Walker valued her expertise in people and culture, pairing her with Ron Johnson, the first Apple Stores executive who shared her people-first vision. The stores focused on community representation and talent development. Despite media labeling it low-wage work, the initiative created valuable growth opportunities. Departing employees received celebratory clap-outs and left well-prepared for future roles. The stores maintained low attrition rates and strong employee engagement. Recognizing that meaningful customer experiences required fulfilled employees, they provided comprehensive benefits, including tuition assistance and health coverage for part-timers. Their most successful staff possessed a love for learning and inspiring others, qualities that thrived in their supportive environment. During a global meeting in China, Young's team struggled with translating performance management across cultures. When David, the only Black participant, withdrew, he explained that to Black employees, performance management often implied unfair termination, a view rooted in workplace discrimination history. Japanese colleagues added their cultural perspective of deep personal shame. This dialogue led to developing culturally inclusive terminology, with Young bridging diverse viewpoints as a cultural interpreter. Similarly, when an operations team proposed orange t-shirts for a store campaign, Black and brown team members noted the color's association with prison uniforms, prompting a swift change to teal blue. Cultural intelligence requires different approaches, sometimes quick decisions, other times extended dialogue. The key remains consistent. Diverse representation in decision-making is essential, even when it complicates the process. We live in an era of casual erasure through banned books, biased AI, and rewritten history. Being seen validates our existence, triggering both physiological and emotional responses, releasing oxytocin when we feel accepted, and potentially altering life's trajectory. For marginalized groups, whether by race, gender, identity, ability, or appearance, invisibility is a common experience. From outright oppression to subtle dismissal, this erosion of recognition damages our capacity for meaningful connection. Fortune 500 companies, with their $37 trillion market value and 29 million employees, could reshape society by transforming both consciousness and business practices. Modern commerce holds potential for dual social and economic transformation, despite perceived conflicts between these goals. We can foster inclusivity by creating our own ecosystems of recognition, even without formal training. We simply need to care enough to understand others' lives. In our divided world, hope emerges from seeing each other as complete human beings with unique stories, not as statistics. When we're seen in our wholeness and truly see others, we unlock both individual potential and our shared humanity.